This word.
Yeah, it's a word. This book is, even though it was written by many people, but it's straight from the Lord. You know, through the Holy Spirit, it was written. And the portion we're going to read today is a text that was written about 2,700 years ago by a man we never met, from a place most of us have never been, and from a, you know, culture may not exist anymore. So that's where this word came from. You know, though he wrote these words, as I said, it's not his, you know, it's from the Lord. You know, he didn't decide this I'm going to write, but Lord guided him to write those. So this is God's word. And it's very powerful. It's active, living word. And as the word says, it is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. And it's wonderful words of life. And that's the word we have here today. And these words of this book are meant to encourage us, comfort us, challenge us, to warn us. And for thousands of years, you know, men and women and children like us gathered together, you know, have read this word, studied this word, and it has changed many lives. And we know what it has done to us too. You know, our lives have been changed. And as always, those who have ears to hear this word, and they will be blessed. So we want to turn to Isaiah chapter 12, Songs of Praise. Please stand with me. Isaiah chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Let's pray. God, our loving Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, the one who loved us so much, the one who sent his only begotten Son into this world to bear the punishment for our sins on himself, to die on the cross of Calvary. On the third day he rose again from the dead, and who is living today, and who draws us to him and has given us hope, the eternal life and life with him. Lord, I pray that as we study your word, may it come alive. May your spirit prompt in our hearts to receive the truth that you want us to hear today. Change our lives, O Lord, we pray. Amen. The topic picked is crisis response. And crisis, you know, is something we deal with in our lives, you know, one time or another. Sometimes we talk about it, sometimes we don't talk about it. But many crises happen in our lives. And when Isaiah began his ministry, that was in 734 BC, the nation of Judah was facing a terrible crisis. The crisis that awakened the deep fear in them. You know, not only the people of Judah, but also the king himself. Fear. It was a time when the people of God, the nation was divided into two, Israel and Judah. Judah in the south and Israel on the north. And also, it was the Assyrians were getting very strong in those days. So, Israel and Syria, they had a coalition to fight against the Assyrians because they were a terrible army. They would come in and destroy everything. They were just pretty bad. So Israel and Assyria wanted to protect themselves. So they wanted to fight against the Assyrians if they come. But they also wanted Judah to join with them in the coalition. Because it was very strategically located and they felt it was necessary for Judah to support this. But Ahaz, the king of Judah, didn't want to do that. And Israel was not happy that Ahaz was not cooperating with them. You know, for us, the U.S., we know all about coalitions. The last 6-7 years, we hear about it all the time. And some support, some don't, and some back out and do all those things. But here, Israel wanted Judah to be part of. And Ahaz didn't agree to be part of that coalition. But what he did was, he went ahead and talked to the Assyrians and made a compact with them, and they became, you know, a joint coalition. And here, Israel and the Assyrians are another coalition. So that's what is happening in the country at that time. And the people of Judah were afraid. Ahaz was afraid. You know, they knew about the horrors of war. You know, it will not only killing the army, the men that goes out there, but they will come and, you know, destroy the families and take everything that they like, they want, take it out of the country, and so they just destroy the land. That's what happens in wars. So they were very scared. And so it's a real crisis in the land. And in that background, I'm going to be reading a few portions from Isaiah. So we'll start from Isaiah 7, 2 to 9. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. In the last couple of days, the TV was showing all these trees shaking because of the hurricanes. I mean, that's the feeling, you know, how their heart is shaking, like the trees. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to Washerman's Field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. So the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Rephaiah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This is the word from the Lord to Ahaz. So Isaiah going over there and telling him, you know, this is the word from the Lord. You know, don't be afraid. You know, they are not going to destroy you. They are not going to kill you. You know, nothing is going to happen. You know, he said, it will not take place, it will not happen. That's the word from the Lord. And also at the end he says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So it's not only that God will protect him, but you have a choice to make. You have to stand firm in your faith, and you have to stand firm in the Lord. So here he has these two good advice, what to be and what not to be. Be careful, be calm, don't be afraid. Be careful, be calm. I mean, you know, in this crisis situation, God is saying, be calm. And don't be afraid. You know, Israel and Syria may seem very frightening to Judah and Ahaz. But what the word says, for God, they are like smoldering stubs of firewood. You know, they are nothing. You know, they already started smoldering. You know, it's a firewood, it's smoldering, it's gone. You know, that's how it is to before God. You are all afraid. So, and God is saying, don't be afraid. You know, be calm. But be strong in the Lord. So God is saying, it will not happen to you. You know, don't be afraid. And when we look at this, you know, why is God is so protective of it? You know, of the people of Judah, of the land. Because there is a promise that our Lord is going to come out of the line of David. And so that is very important to the Father. The Messiah is coming through that. And so, you know, they cannot destroy that people. He has to be protected. And if you look at Israel and Syria, you know, they just have the human leaders. But who do Judah has? It's God himself. You know, nothing can withstand the power of God. So nothing can stand against God. But if you don't stand in your faith, you know, then you know, you're going to fall. You're not going to be able to stand up. So what is it telling us? If we don't stand in our faith, you know, what will be the result? You know, our entire life will be unstable. You know, faith, because our faith is our foundation of our life. You know, God has, we are God's children, and our faith in Him is the basic foundation of our life now. You know, those who do not know the Lord, you know, that's a whole different story. But for us as believers, our faith is the basis of our life. So the nation of Judah is facing a serious crisis. Now what are they going to do? You know, God has told them what to do, but what do they really do? You know, they are afraid, of course. I mean, here this army is at their footsteps, you know, at their doorstep, and they are afraid. You know, it's you know, for a human being, when somebody is coming to kill you, you know, you are afraid. But it's the test of their faith. That's where they are right now. And if you look at, you know, their mistakes, that will teach us to, you know, in our lives, you know, how we should face this crisis. And, you know, this 3,000 year history, you know, how is that going to help us? You know, this happened 3,000 years ago. How is that going to help us? But we know it's the same God that we serve. And He is still alive and still speaking to us. So when we face with a crisis, and we face many kinds of crisis, various kinds of crisis, right? We have a physical, emotional, spiritual, economic, occupational, relational, you know, many kinds of crises we face in our lives. And we learn that when we face this crisis, you know, through this study of this word today, we will learn, first of all, that we need to have trust in the Lord. We have to have trust in the Lord. I mean, here God told Ahaz, you know, you have to stand firm in your faith. He did not. What he did was he went ahead and joined with the Assyrians, you know. And God told him, you are not going to fall. You know, they're going to do anything to you. You're going to be safe. But still, he didn't have any trust. You know, he was afraid. And he went and tied knots with Assyrians. So the first thing we need to do is, we have to have our trust in the Lord. And, you know, Ahaz and the nation didn't. I mean, they didn't do as God had told them to do. So be careful. Keep calm and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. That's what God told me. In the midst of his crisis, God told Ahaz to trust him. And that's the same thing what's happening to us. We are afraid of the situation. But we need to look to God instead of looking at the situation that scaring us, that becomes a great crisis. It's not only the war or whatever crisis we are facing, but we ourselves become disabled by instead of trusting God, falling into the crisis situation. Or even though Ahaz has God on his side, you know, he decided to move away from that and go into relationship with the Assyrians. So when he takes that decision, you know, what can he expect? All he can expect is, you know, some help from the Assyrians. And Assyrians are not great people that cares about anyone, you know. And so Ahaz was just thinking about the moment, you know, just to get help for the moment. But Assyrians, you know, they are the type of people they are. What they did was they helped Ahaz in this situation. But right after that, they came in and destroyed the nation of Judah. So he didn't look far ahead. He just looked at the situation right in front of him. And many times we do the same thing. You know, we try to take care of the crisis situation, but we don't look ahead. You know, that again, when we don't have the support and the help from the Lord, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to do it, but we don't know if it is the right thing to do. You know, we just think it is. You know, what does the man know? He doesn't know much. You know, he has a little bit of knowledge of what it is, but who is God? He's all-knowing God. He knows not only today, but he knows the future. So if he can help us, isn't that the best thing to do? And, you know, then many people may wonder, why should we trust God? You know, I mean, I don't see him. You know, why should we trust him? I mean, I know I'm right. You know, I know this is what should be done. Why should I trust God? Because the Bible says God is trustworthy. Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord Almighty says, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. His word will not change. He keeps his word. And he says, whatever I plan, it's going to come to pass. You know, he has no crisis. You know, we have all this crisis in before us. He has no crisis. He has the answer to all this crisis. He doesn't have crisis, you know, because he knows not only today, but he knows the future. If God says he can be trusted, we can't trust him. And, you know, he made promises to Ahaz, and he's also made promises to us. And he says, nothing in this creation can separate us from him. You know, it is a promise he has given us. And can we trust him on that? You know, his word is trustworthy. His word is true. And based on our relationship with our Lord, we know we can trust him. But when we face crisis situations, you know, are we really going to him? Or are we just trying to make it, you know, with our own strength and our own abilities? But Jesus, God says, you know, nothing is going to happen to you. Have faith. Like he said to Ahaz. That's what he's telling us. Have faith. Stand firm on the faith, on your faith, and nothing will happen to you. So he also said, all things are work together for your good. You know, he promises that. And he also said he's preparing a place for us. And he will take us to that place. You know, and can we trust him? We have to trust him. We can, because we have to trust him because he's trustworthy. Another reason we should trust God is because no one loves us like him. He loves us and cares about us. You know, why do you think he sent his son to save us? Because he loves us. He loves us very much. Here in this story, Ahaz placed his trust not on God, but on Assyria. He placed his trust on man. And we know this man, this friend, so-called friend, in his need at that time, you know, really attacked Judah and destroyed them. And we could read that in 2 Kings 18 and 19. But that will not happen if we put our trust in God. We know it will not happen because he loves us and his word is always true. He keeps his word. So we know it is not going to happen to us. Another reason we can trust God is because He is God. He is God. He is all powerful. And he is able to take care of us. We can truly trust him because he loves us, his word is true, and he is powerful. You know, I mean, no matter who comes against us or what comes against us, he is able to fight the enemy. You know, it doesn't have to be, I mean, when we're talking about here, we're talking about an army. But that's not what we fight every day. But God is able and capable and trustworthy to trust him. And he will take care of us. I want to read some of the passages that talks about trusting God. Psalm 20:28. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 118:8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Psalm 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. So, this lesson from 3,000 years ago, teaching us that we have to trust God when we are facing crisis. You know, we already mentioned about, you know, Sisi, and I will say, you know, it was a privilege to be there and be part of that memorial service, be among, you know, there for the memorial service. And one of the things that her pastor mentioned, you know, he said that Sisi has told me many things, but this one thing, you know, he shared with us that he wants everyone to remember, that Sisi said, I may not be cured, but I have been healed. I may not be cured, but I have been healed. I mean, it shows her trust in God. You know, she has been healed emotionally, spiritually. You know, she knows she is with the Lord. You know, she is in the presence of God today. And she knew that. So that is the kind of trust we need. And that trust helps us to move on, to do things for God. And we are able to trust God if we have that kind of faith. Secondly, fear. Don't be afraid. But fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Number two, fear the Lord. What did Ahaz and the Judah fear? They feared the armies of Israelites and Syria. And they were afraid of the Assyrians too. I mean, it's better to be friends than the enemy, right? That's why they joined with the Assyrians. But they were afraid of the armies of, you know, the land, the people. The Israelites, Assyrians, the Syrians. And the circumstance, you know, the war itself. They were afraid of all this. But they were supposed to be fearing God. You know, someone said, if you fear God, you fear nothing else. But if you don't fear God, you fear everything else. You fear everything if you don't fear God. So, the importance of fearing God. Fear God and trust God. Fear and trust go in hand in hand. In Exodus 14:31 says, when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. The Israelites, when they saw how God dealt with the Israelites, the Egyptians, they were afraid. They feared God and they trusted God. So the fear is important in, you know, in our relationship with God. And that helps us to trust God. The fear and trust. And when you are when you trust God, you want to be in God, on God's side. You know, that's why you trust in God. You are on His side. And here the psalmist writes in 115:11, you who fear Him, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. When you trust Him, when you fear Him, you know, He is your helper. He's on your side. And when you think about it, if you don't really fear the Lord God, you don't trust Him. So that is an integral part, fear, part of trusting God. Isaiah 8:13-14 says, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, and He will be a sanctuary. So He is our helper. He will be our sanctuary. You know, we are protected. And if we fear Him, if we trust Him, I mean, even I say He is the one you are to dread. You know, he is God. He's all powerful. He is God. And then he provides us the sanctuary. So we are to fear the Lord, and he will be a sanctuary for us. So he will protect us. We don't have to be afraid of anything else. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Psalm 33:18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. So it shows our fear of God, you know, and our love for him. He loves us. And his unfailing love is with us. And like we read, the enemies, Israelites and the Syrians, are like, you know, just burned out stubs before God. But for us, we are afraid, we are scared of them. And when we have this circumstance in our lives where we are scared to take another step, you know, the events that we don't know how it's going to turn out, where do we turn? Turn to God. And how do we know we fear the Lord? Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. That's what the Lord says. I hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. If we don't hate evil, we don't fear the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we hate evil. And if whatever God hates, we hate too. When God clearly states, you know, he hates this, and we hate those too. We do not follow those. And we are to fear the Lord. So we are to trust in the Lord. We are to fear God. And next, we are to turn to the Word. We are to turn to God's Word. You know, it is God's Word. And it tells us how God thinks, his plans for our lives, and his plans for the future, and how to live. Isaiah 8:19 and 20. Where did the people in Isaiah's day turn when they were faced with this crisis? They turned to God, turned to the Word. When men tell you to consult mediums and spirits, this is Isaiah 8:19 and 20. When men tell you to consult mediums and spirits, who, worshipper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Where do we turn when we face crisis in our lives? You know, some may turn to drugs, alcohol, the psychic network. You know, some just numb themselves before entertainment, you know, just before TV or, you know, entertainment. Just, they don't want to think about what's going on. They just numb themselves. And some seek comfort in money. You know, where do we turn when we face crisis? When we face crisis, do we turn to the Word? Do we turn to the Word of God? God's Word is light. God's Word has answers. It brings comfort, gives direction, holds out hope, lifts us up when we are down, shines lights into our darkened world. This Word is where we should turn. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us through this Word. He opens the truth to us as we study God's Word. So we have to trust God, fear the Lord, and we have to turn to the Word, that is the living Word. And fourthly, we are to look to the future. And the future is Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to the future. You know, things really looked gloomy and bad when they looked at this army that comes against them. But if they have only listened to God, it would have been different. And here in Isaiah 8, 21 and 22 it says, distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. If we do not look to God, if we look at the crisis situation, He looked at ourselves, He looked at the present, that's what happens. We only see the darkness and the gloom. There is no light at the end of the tunnel, so to say. So, but in chapter 9, verse starting at 1, it tells, look to the future. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness, having seen a great light, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus is the light of the world. And verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. It is the picture of the end of the war. You know, there is peace. There is peace. There is a time of peace after the war. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, all this is because of the, a child is born. A child was born. That's Jesus Himself. And verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, embellishing, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. They will live under the protection of the Lord. You know, here we have a child is born. He has come to save each one of us. You know, He took this punishment for our sins. Now He is reigning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have His protection. We have His protection. So what are we to do? We are to look to Him and look to the future, because He has promised us a future. Because He is the way and the truth and the life. And when this is true to each one of us, you know, we will be satisfied. We will be able to trust God. We will fear God. We will look to the Word. We will know that He loves us. And we can trust Him. We can live for Him. And as we read earlier in chapter 12, when we are trusting God, when we depend on God, when we know the future, we are able to sing this song right along. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Now, are you facing crisis today? If you are, what we are called to do is to trust God. You know, he said he will support us. He will protect us from the enemy, from whatever you are going through. Trust in him. Fear God and him alone. No need to fear anything else. Fear God. And then turn to God's word. He will speak the truth to us. He will give us the direction. Because that is his word. He promised us that he will give us the direction we need. And then look to the future. Because the deliverance is at hand. The crisis will pass. God's deliverance is at hand. Let's pray. Savior, we love you. We thank you for the love that you have shown to us. Lord, some 3,000 years ago, through Isaiah, the prophet, you spoke, trust me, have fear in me, I love you, nothing can come against you, that you promise that you will protect your people. You will protect your investment. I pray that we will have the courage to trust you, Lord, and you alone. And have a fear of God in us. That we will depend on you in our everyday lives. Even in our crisis situations. We will depend on you and trust you because you are trustworthy. You love us more than anyone else in this world. And you are capable of taking care of us. Because you created us and you have promised us the hope of eternal life and life with you. Lord, we thank you for your love and your patience and mercy that is showing to us every day. Lord, I pray that you will help us to learn from your word. To live a righteous life that will be pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you again for your presence here today and for speaking to our hearts. And thank you for your guidance in our lives. And thank you for the deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.